starting early because there's a Lions Club meeting, and Jimmy needs to leave for that.
Well, we're holding this meeting of the Alaska Native Review Commission in Tanana on Thursday, July 12th, 1984, and I want to welcome you all here and to invite you, sir, to begin, since you have to be off to the Lions Club meeting later tonight. Could you start by just giving us your name?
James Minook. James A. Minook. M-I-N-O-O-K. She draw you a map. You had a map, and you had...
You helped me draw these maps.
Yes, sort of. It's just a rough drawing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. Now, let's, this, there's Tanana right about here, Tanana right here. There's that, there's Toey's just that down about 10 miles. There's Toey's Bend, you know, goes down. There's the old station here. I think this island here, this David Elias Sturgeon Wallace, and Roy Stratter Folger's right about here. It's on this side, Folger. Venus Wednesday. Just an island, you see the island, just Grant, right on, this is Grant, it's planted with the cob landed with the first campus, east, that's part down, that's full of trees, it's Swinson. The next house, that's standing right across from the point of the island, is mine. I bought the place, you know, and Blood Island, we have another one, there's a German, and he's there, captain now, he's fishing there. Right above there, we have a little cabin, my dad patented that about, I don't know how long ago, that's all. We have two. One on Bloda Island, above the German camp. This is a little house above there. You see they're fishing down there now. And right across that island, on this side, on the south bank, right at the great point of the island, you see the cabin. There'll be a smokehouse. There'll be a smokehouse and a cabin there. That's about the cabin, you know.
Right.
I bought it when an old timer.
And is that on a native allotment?
I don't know, really. But on the side, we had that patent by my dad. That was not family, you know. So.
Well, apart from that, do you have any?
Below there, go by, say, the river goes this way, and there's a slough there. There's a little slough that's called, Mason Slough, you know. Right there, there's Nikolai Camp, a watcher Nikolai's camp, I think. Yeah, watcher Nikolai. He's here. He's here. Watcher Maggie Nikolai, you know. That's, yeah, that's this cabin, and the bend goes down and it goes around like this, and there's Mason Slough. And right in this blue Mason Slough, you see a camp right there, a bend, you see, goes like that, bend goes down like I see, go down and cabins, and this bend goes this, it goes down like that, and right in the slough, the blue Mason, there's a camp, you see a fish camp, that's Walter Woods, Walter Nikolai's camp.
I see. Well, we stopped at some of the fish camps on the way down.
But,
from,
You know, these big camps all the way down to Cock and Ruby, but a lot of them passed away, you know. Then 41, 42, when I first started at the hospital here, to work nights, you know. The nurse used to go ahead of me, they had those tuberculosis, and they keep seeing people here, and the dove, and the nurse go ahead and with flashlight. Where did I put this body next? We had body here, body there. A lot of them died of that tuberculosis, you know. Mm-hmm. So most of the natives are wiped out, you know. So you'll see a lot of skeleton camps.
A lot of skeleton camps?
Yes, you know, empty.
That people haven't used for years?
Died away, you know. Most of them passed away, you know.
Yeah. Well, How do you feel the land claims has worked out, Mr. Minook?
I wouldn't know at the moment. Really, I wouldn't know. I'm retired, and the federal government gave me good pay, and my brother's in federal pay, too. So it doesn't really matter, you know, because I was spending so many years in the PHS, you know, and I always have no discrimination and certain things I shouldn't do, you know. You know, we have a, we had something, what you could do and what we could not do, you know. government, you can do so much, you know. You can't even campaign, you know. They always tell me this and tell me that, you know, while I was working, you know.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't really know about that, you know. Okay.
Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for coming down. Someone else was going, leaving room? Well, we started our meeting a little early because some people, including Mr. Minook, had to go to the Lions Club meeting tonight. But my name is Tom Berger, and I'm here because I'm reviewing the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971. My commission was established by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos, and the commission is co-sponsored by the World Council of Indigenous Peoples, which is an international organization of Indian people in North and South America. So I've been traveling all around Alaska since February to see what people think about ANCSA, about the land claim settlement, because that settlement was made 13 years ago, and we want to find out what people here in rural Alaska, people in the villages, think about ANCSA, about the corporations, regional corporations, the village corporations. What about subsistence? What impact has ANCSA had on your life? What are the good points, the bad points? We just want to know what you think about ANCSA, about land claims. Maybe I could just say that one of the things about ANCSA that makes it, in a way, distinctive from any other land claim settlement is that that shareholding corporations were set up, and you all hold shares in those corporations. It may be after 1991 that you will be able to sell your shares, and if enough of you sell your shares to non-Native people, then non-Native people will acquire control of the corporations and control of Native ancestral lands in Alaska. It is also provided under ANCSA that 20 years after the corporations receive Native lands, the land can be taxed by the state. And that is a distinctive feature of the ANCSA settlement. It also provided that the only people who were to receive shares were those people who were alive in 1971, and for that reason, Alaska Native children born since 1971 have no right to be enrolled as shareholders. or to, though they may take by inheritance. And wherever we've gone, come in, please, and have a chair. I was just saying, my name is Tom Berger, and I'm explaining why I've been going around the state to hear what Alaska Native people and other Alaskans have to say about ANCSA. And wherever we've gone, people are concerned about what will happen in 1991 if their shares go on the, if shares are available to be purchased by non-natives. Will the corporations be taken over by non-natives? If the state runs out of money, will it start looking at native corporate lands as appropriate subjects of taxation after the 20-year period of grace expires? But those are some of the things people have raised with me. But just about everywhere we go, people have raised the question, why aren't the children entitled to be enrolled as shareholders? Then there's the question of sovereignty or self-government that comes up as well. So on all of those questions that you, any of them you'd like to say anything about, maybe you could just step up here and speak at this microphone. The reason for that is that Jim Sykes here is taking all this down, and it will be transcribed and typewritten, typed up, so that when I write my report, it'll be based on what you say, and my report will be made public in next summer, and it'll be based on what I've heard in the villages and from Alaska Natives living in the urban centers as well, and a copy will be sent to everybody who has testified at the commission, so you'll know what use I made of your testimony. I think you all know Mary Kenswick, who works with the commission and was here a while ago to help to get us together this evening. And this is Bill Hess of the Tundra Times and John Cree of the News Miner. I don't want to do all the talking, and please feel free to step up here if you don't mind. It just makes it easier for Jim to transcribe what is said. Maybe I could add that we've been to I think this is the 25th village we've visited, so we've been all over Alaska, and over 500 people have testified at the hearings of the commission. Most of the meetings have been well attended, sometimes not so well attended, but once we get started, people usually feel free to speak, I hope you'll feel free to say what you think in due course.
Just
Well, we're just getting started here, Mrs. Edwin, and I thank you for coming. We met your son at the Earhart's Fish Camp yesterday, where we had a little hearing at the fish camp, and there were a lot of dogs barking, but we managed to hear what was said. It's a nice place.
My husband couldn't come; he's busy people.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Well, Mr. Arlie Charlie said he was coming to speak, and I know some others will be coming. Well,
I'm not very familiar with it, but I know, my name is Ruth Grant. I know in Minto they're pretty well up on land claim business, you know. They know quite a bit about it, and I haven't been up on that too much. And I think that sometimes I think we're really treated wrong, the natives. Because like the churches, they have these villages where the natives lived before, and they just took over all the land because they're the only one that have the church on that ground. And I think that's a shame. I think they should give it back to the natives because it was theirs at the beginning, and this is bad.
You mean the lands that were turned over to the churches?
Uh-huh. Well, the church haven't, because the church is still there. Mm-hmm. The building is still there.
Oh, I see. And you think that church, that church land should be turned
back to
the native
people?
Are you referring specifically to the church land here in Tanana?
Ninana.
Ninana.
Mm. I don't know what they ever did about their their land up there. I don't know what's going on about that. But up here, I think we mostly practically lose everything up here. And I think that's a shame.
Yeah. What about the Mrs. Grant, what do you think is most important to the native people? You know, after 1991, it may be that native people can sell their shares in their corporations. If they do sell them, they'll get some money if the shares are worth something. They could use the money to maybe buy a boat or, I don't know, buy a refrigerator. On the other hand, if a majority of native people in a corporation sell their shares, then it won't be their corporation anymore, and the land won't be their land anymore. How do you think the people feel about that? What's most important to them, the land or getting some money or what? What do you think?
I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself. I don't think money is not going to get us anywhere, but land will get us somewhere. Not only us, but the generation, our kids and their kids. And if we sell our stock, then we're going to have money for, 1 month to have a good time on, and that's it. I don't think it's a very good idea to be selling.
Well, that's a view a lot of people have expressed. I must say, what about the children themselves? When ANCSA came in back in 1971, And you all received shares, 100 shares in your local corporation and 100 shares in Doyon. When did it become apparent to you that the children were not shareholders? Did people realize that right away, or did it only sink in slowly? And how did they feel about it when they...
I think it sinked in slowly because we never know about it till later. I don't think it's right. Because people that live in Alaska all their years have title to land from the time they were small, you know? I mean, I got land at home where my father used to have land, then he turned it over to me. So I don't think it's right that they leave these little ones out after 71.
Any other thoughts?
Not right now. Probably think of some more when I sit down.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mrs. Grant, and thank you for... thank you for letting us stay at your house and with our tent on the lawn, too.
I like company.
It's a good thing.
Hello, Mr. Starr. Come in.
Come here. Tom. Maybe I'll just sit here.
All right.
You want a chair?
Pardon me?
Are you accepting it? Just testimonials as they come in? Or
oh, no. Well, please feel free.
I just wondered, did you have an agenda?
No, we just kind of let it happen.
I kind of got here late.
Well, no. Well, you're actually, I think, on time. A lot of us got here early. Come in. There's some chairs up here. Maybe... No, we're just letting anybody have say their piece who Mr. Minok spoke and Mrs. Grant. If you, I know you've got something on your mind, so please feel free to.
Are you just there?
Yeah, if you don't mind sitting up here.
I knew Judge Berger was coming today, so I prepared a testimonial that stating my feelings on ANSCA. I dropped a copy of it into the Daily News Miner today, so there'd be a copy of it in the paper sometime. I felt that ANSCA was probably a spark plug that got everything going, and it was probably one of the best things that really happened. It's really not a perfect bill. You had to relinquish, ANSCA relinquished a lot of traditional rights that the natives had before the bill was passed. And but on the other hand, it gave the natives the opportunity to assert themselves. And that's one of the biggest problems that I see, that considering the thing is that the people just don't really assert themselves. They have a tendency to let things ride and let somebody else do the things. That's one of the good parts of ANSCA. They formed corporations, sub-regional corporations, regional corporations. And these corporations the success of these corporations is in direct relation to how about the input the shareholders have that put in there. If you don't have any input into them, these corporations are going to fail. On the other hand, if everybody, if the people have input to them, and there's an opportunity there's a great opportunity for these corporations to provide a steady income for years and years. If the corporations fail, it's only the shareholders' fault, it's nobody else's. What else did I have? I gotta get clicking my notes here. I gotta land. I feel that any corporation that holds land in trust for me is a direct insult to my integrity for managing my own land. As long as a person is capable of handling their own affairs, they ought to be capable of handling their land. And any land that that you're eligible for should be your own. You should be responsible for the management of it. Also on my letter I stated that in the future times children, it's non-shareholders of the corporations and non-landowners that was born after ANSCA was in effect. There's plenty of land in the sub-regional corporations and in the regional corporations to provide land for these people, these children that was born after ANSCA. I think that would be the only fair way of dividing it up, either on a lottery or maybe just first come, first served. It's hard to say. But it's up to the people to do that. It's not up to anybody else except to the people to take action and provide land for these people from your corporations. You're not going to get any more land from the federal government or from the state. That was about it.
Well, Mr. Charlie, just before you go, I understand you came from the Lower 48 many years ago, but in your written statement that you were good enough to give me earlier, you said that land held in trust by anybody for somebody else is an insult to the credibility of the landowner, if the landowner is of age and sound mind. I take it you were comparing the way in which land is held in trust for Native people in the Lower 48. Is that
I've got land held in trust for me. I own land on my reservation.
Where is that?
The Quinault Indian Reservation.
And that's in Oregon, is it?
Washington. But I can't go down there and build a house on it. I can't sell it. And there's even a question now if my children can even inherit it if being as they're Alaska Indians.
Well, are your children enrolled to any of the corporations here?
Yes, they're all up here. There's five of them, or there's four of them now. And if I, my daughter went out and she was going to camp on some of my land down there, and one of my cousins come down, as he was a United States Marshal on a reservation, he arrested her. He didn't recognize her, but it all turned out okay. But it's, you're really limited to what you can do with land that's held in trust. If you own something, I think, I personally feel that if you own something, you have a right to do whatever you want. If these native allotments the kids have up here, 1991, if they want to subdivide it or sell the lots or maintain it or anything, I feel that they should have that right to do whatever they want to with it. If anybody else holds that land in trust in any manner at all, it's really not a fair condition, I don't think.
Well, you're, let me ask you about 1991. You're, you manage the local IRA here, do you?
Mm-hmm.
And though you are not enrolled to any corporation, I take it your wife and your children are.
Yes. I own quite a few shares in these corporations, but it's your non-voting shares.
I see. Well, I was just asking Mrs. Grant, I think when you came in, about the issue of 1991. That is, it may be that after 1991, shareholders will be able to sell their shares. Right now, they can't sell their shares. After 1991, they may be able to sell their shares and get some money for them and buy something, a boat or a gun or something. If enough people sell their shares, a majority may fall into the hands of non-natives, and then the corporation wouldn't be a native corporation, and the native ancestral lands would be under the control of non-natives. Now, most of the places we've been, people agree with Mrs. Grant, because she said, no, we shouldn't sell our shares. The land is the most important thing. But, for instance, in Fairbanks, some native people said, no, I'm an American. I have the right to sell my shares. What good is property if you can't sell it? And that's my right as a free-born American, and don't you go telling me I can't sell my shares. Well, how do you, what do you think about that?
I feel that nobody should tell me how I should manage my shares.
Mm-hmm.
That's your individual right. You're infringing on your personal rights if somebody else tells you how to manage it. It's a real personal matter, really. There is that possibility that corporations may fall into other hands, but on the other hand, it's just like any business. And stocks and stuff, whenever you buy it, you have the right to sell it, and you're not limited to who you could sell it to, and the corporation is going to be the same way. The biggest problem I could see is probably making allotments for the people that didn't get land in the corporations. You're going to have one heck of a time getting Tozetna or Doyon or anybody to give up land for their shareholders, for people who didn't get land in the Anskaac. And I think that would probably be a big detriment.
Well, any other thoughts?
No, I can't think of anything. None of the bills are perfect, but ANSCA was the spark plug that set everything off. It stopped the state from making selections. It stopped the federal government. They had the land freeze for years before ANSCA, and it gave the natives an opportunity to assert themselves. And that was the biggest thing that they're supposed to, that I feel that was the benefited. The natives, they don't assert themselves. Well, That's their option.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Charlie. Thank you very much. As some people have arrived just in the last few minutes, maybe I could just introduce myself again and say I'm Tom Berger, and I'm here. This is the Alaska Native Review Commission, and we're just going around Alaska to every region to see what the people living here in the villages, Alaska Natives and other Alaskans for that matter, think about the land claim settlement, the corporations, subsistence, sovereignty and self-government, and all of these questions, and especially about 1991, the sale of shares, taxation of Native lands, and the question whether the children born since 1971 should be included in the settlement. And we've been to about 25 villages so far, and we'll keep traveling till the end of the year and probably get to maybe 50 villages before we're through, so that at the end, Jim Sykes, who's taking all of this down, it'll be typed up, there'll be a complete record of what you think about ANCSA and about land claims and where you want to go from here, what happens now. So that's... That's why we're here. Yeah. Only chairs left are at the front. Wish we could double the number of chairs at the back of the hall, but that's And if you'd like to say something, please feel free to come up here and speak at this microphone so it can be taken down by Jim over here. But if you'd rather speak from where you are seated, we'll just have Mary come around with the microphone. We do that. But I'd like to see if anybody would like to come up here before we start taking the microphone around.
Mm-hmm. And people should be aware that all these testimonies will be compiled by Tom Berger and be edited in 85, hopefully. And this is the reason why they want you to speak into the tape recorder. microphone is going to be put down for a compilation.
We were
up to a Stevens Village in Rampart, and surprisingly we got a lot of people testifying about how they felt about the Land Claim Settlement Act, the good and bad aspects of the Claims Act. And I was very surprised and elated that there were some good reports for and some good reports against and the mistakes. Worldwide, they've been really studying the last Land Claim Settlement Act, and some of the indigenous people throughout the world are saying we don't want to claim that like Alaska because it's got too many bugs in it. And so with this in mind, I think that through this report, other indigenous people throughout the world would know these mistake areas and try to rectify them. Hopefully they get a better claim settlement act. And also, I feel that in this report, there'd be hopefully amendments to the act that would be in favor for us here in the state of Alaska. I thought I would have to mention that, Tom.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Al. That's exactly what I'll be doing in my report, suggesting what should be done here in Alaska and suggesting to Native people in other countries what lessons they might learn from what's happened here in Alaska. Oh, yes, I should. For those who just came in, this is Jim Sykes, who travels with me to take everything down on tape. And this is Mary Kenswick, who helps to organize the meetings. And this is Bill Hess of the Tundra Times taking your photograph. And this is John Cree of the Daily News Miner. Well, Mary, will, if you'd like to say something, maybe you could indicate, just nod to Mary and she can go around with a microphone like Donahue and see if you'd like to say something so that you don't have to come up here. You
were here very early and I thought maybe you'd have something to say.
My voice is not too good, you know.
Say your name and then.
Yeah. We enrolled to this claim in Ruby. And does that make any difference?
I'm sorry.
Does that make any difference where we enrolled?
No. Go ahead.
What concerns me, I'm concerned about is this children born after 71. Mm-hmm. You know. When they're born after 71, why they don't own anything. And we'd like to know what'll happen to them.
We would
like to know what'll happen to them kids that'll be born without anything here. And the rate that the shareholders is dying off, every time a shareholder we're getting less. Well, it goes on by inheritance, you know. And so that's kind of, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Do you have children?
we have grandchildren. So I don't represent my grandchildren alone. It's for everybody, all the natives. Yeah. We just don't know what's going to happen to them. It's all.
Could we have your name?
James Johnson Sr.
This is James Johnson. Did you hear Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
Mr. Johnson was talking, for those who didn't hear, about his concern for the children who were born after 1971 and their share in the settlement, and what could be done to include them.
Yeah. I don't know. In about 70 or 80 years from now, there'll be no shareholders. It's in the rate that we're dying off, you know.
You're saying that in 70 or 80 years, there would be no native shareholders at the rate that people are dying off?
Yeah, that's kind of.
And non-native people acquiring shares by inheritance already, you mean?
Pardon me?
Oh, some people have made the point that non-native people are acquiring shares by inheritance. That is, a lot of concern about that.
That's what I mean, you know. They're selling. The corporate selling the land. I don't go much for that either. The land we own now is more important to us, you know, unless we were forced to sell it. I don't know about the taxation that they're talking about there. Are they going to tax the native here for their land? Well, if that's the only way that we could lose our land.
Okay, if you think of something else, let me know.
Thank you, sir.
She don't. She
no. You sure?
That's my wife. She got the same ideas I have.
Do you want to add anything to what your husband was saying?
Mm-hmm.